Vegas. I'd like to invite up our next panelists, Josie, Drew, and Jason. And so this is the something near and dear to my heart, the imposter syndrome panel. Naturally, I invited three of the most confident people I know to be in this panel.
Oh, geez, Brian.
So yeah, maybe we just start things off just by having each of you introduce yourselves and just to talk a little bit about what you do. So we'll start with Jason over there.
Hi. Hello. My name is Jason Harris. I am the manager of application services at the Edmonton Public Library, which is a section of the IT department. However, I am a librarian by training. I did my MLIS at Dalhousie University, graduated 7 years ago, I guess, something like that. So application services as a function of IT is basically making sure that the ILS exists, is running, has enough people to staff it, as well as a bunch of other important applications to the Edmonton Public Library. So we'll leave it at that.
Hello, my name is Drew Thomas. I am actually from Sandwood Public Library, not Strathcona. And I've been there for about 14 years. I'm in Children's Services. My title right now is Children's Services Librarian. I have a BA from University of Lethbridge and Poli Sci. I've got a tech degree from, or tech diploma or whatever, from Graham McEwen. And so, yeah, for like past 14 years, I've worked with children ages 1 to 18. I do programming for all ages. I love it. Just finished a grade 1 tour before I came here. Hopefully you guys will listen better and not ask me to play Minecraft, but maybe you will. Who knows? Yeah, so that's me.
Hi, my name, oh, is this on?
It is on, yeah.
Okay, good, thanks. My name is Josie Wilson, and I come from Yellowhead Regional Library, which is just in Spruce Grove outside of Edmonton. And I am newly minted as the manager of collections and resource sharing as of October 1st. But previous to that, since 2010, I was a client services librarian there. So that's really kind of a consulting role, working with all of our member libraries, both school and public. And previous to that, I was with Edmonton Public Library from the time of a student page all the way to a library assistant for 14 years, I think, something like that. So I've been around in libraries for a little while and worked in a lot of different roles.
Well, thank you. My next question is, would you like to play Minecraft, Drew?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. No one's ever asked me that.
So we all, everybody here went to library school, one kind or another. I went, we'll get into it. Anyway, I guess my question to each of you is, what do you wish you had focused more on in library school to prepare you for the work that you now do at the library you work at? So we'll start with Josie this time.
Oh, geez. Oh, and I forgot to say that I graduated with my MLIS from here in 2010. Okay, what did I wish I learned? I did think about this before, I promise. I think that I wish that I would have learned more about facilitating and speaking in front of people, to tell you the truth, because I have done a lot of that since graduating. And right off the hop, as soon as I started at Yellowhead, I had to come up with a research project to do some needs assessment in all of our school member libraries, and I had to present it in front of the board executive, I think within like 8 weeks, 9 weeks of starting at Yellowhead, which was really fast. And I had never presented to a board before. I had presented, you know, in front of the classroom, but when you're presenting at the front of the classroom, it's really a lot different because you're doing it for marks, right? You're not necessarily doing it for, you know, understanding, to make sure that people are understanding what you're saying, and then also being able to, you know, answer and facilitate questions and teaching and learning opportunities, doing presentations, but so that people are, you know, understanding what you're trying to say and not just for that, you know, marks, right? So I think looking at presentations in a little bit of a different way and making sure that you're really comfortable speaking in front of people, that's what I wish I would have focused a little bit more on.
Oh, I get to use this. I wish I'd focused a little bit more on everything. I think I looked at this question last night too, and I said I couldn't really think of anything that stood out. But one thing I will say is if you are going to work with the public, if you're going to work at a reference desk, master that reference interview. You will save so much of your time and so much of your patrons' time if you can help them figure out what they actually want. I work with kids, so you're going to get a kid who's asking for a book and you're going to really figure out, okay, this is what you want. But I also work with a lot of parents, and parents are just doing their best. And they've got a list from their kids. Oh, I need this book. And that book's out. And you have to be ready to step up. You have to be ready to have your reader's advisory going too. That's another thing that's like super hard to do until you're actually on the ground. But the, you know, if you have an idea about where you want to work, just start reading. Especially if you want to work with kids, just read, because you're still going to be behind when you start. And that's okay. Because as long as you can have some go-tos, as long as you can have some titles off the top of your head, as long as you are able to figure out how you can help these people, that's the best way to go about your job.
So what I do now and library school seem very far apart. That said, when I started like my first job at EPL, the thing that I wished I'd spent more time learning about in library school was public libraries. I didn't like know anything about them when I got the job at EPL. I worked at Digital Literacy Initiatives. That was my first role. So I was fortunate enough to get that role because I have a bit of a technology background. But I definitely, as this panel, like felt like an imposter. I didn't know how the system worked at all. Like I'd use a public library. I'm not like a complete Luddite, like they, you know, read and stuff. But like the metrics that people were using to value the library from inside the library were very foreign to me. So the importance of the card creation, like I didn't, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's 14 years library assistant. I'm like, I've never worked in a library. I came from like radio broadcasting, retail books. So, I mean, they're not the same. Bookstores and libraries have a lot of similarities, but they're not the same. So I reader's advisory, I recognize that, but the metrics that the library uses to demonstrate its value to the community as well as to itself internally, I didn't understand what those were. And there was a lot of, you know, being the duck, trying to look serene on top while your feet are going a million miles underneath, trying to figure out why does this library want this? Why is this important? So you might not be able to get that like in library school. There's no course on like what's happening in the public library, but there's lots of people who work there. Go down there, talk to the library assistants who work there, try to understand how they see the world. That to me is a big miss for me. I'm fortunate that I was able to like skate by and you know, make it up as I went along a little bit. But I feel that I focused a lot on technology in my MLIS, and then it was sort of like, and I guess the other piece that might have just been me is the relationship. If anybody's interested in going into systems librarianship, the relationship between all the different moving parts inside of the library system.
Jason, if I may jump in, could you describe what system librarianship is for these fine young aspiring professionals?
I wish I could, Brian. systems librarian. systems librarian. Just calling out the imposter syndrome right now. systems librarianship sort of depends on whether you're an academic or public, but generally it's the connection between the various pieces of technology that allow things to move around. So you have items moving ownership between people, and there's usually some kind of computerized system involved in that. So there's going to be some kind of technology stack in the background and an application that enables those transactions to work. So systems librarianship is often in the planning and execution of those back-end systems. So you might hear it referred to as technical services sometimes. So that would be my 2-second definition of systems librarianship. There's probably lots of books on it.
Thank you. I've been waiting 20 years to find out what that is.
Brian also does that. Yeah. So I lost my first train of thought, but I think hopefully that answers the question.
Okay. Sorry, Jason.
No worries.
For those of you who are wondering, the thing I wish I'd learned more about was hosting panels. What caused you the most anxiety when you say, if you guys can go back to, you know, a couple of years back when you started your very first library job, what caused you the most anxiety when you first sort of walked in the doors and realized that you finally had to start doing something? So we'll start with Josie again.
Okay, so what caused me the most anxiety is, well, I went from an organization that I worked with for a really long time to a brand new organization and that I didn't know a lot about. I didn't know a lot about regional library systems when I went there. But really what caused me the most anxiety was not having a schedule and being really in charge of my own time. As a professional and as part of Yellowhead Regional Library, we're a small shop and everybody is expected to, you know, we have, you know, some schedule parameters and things like that. But I went from working at a unionized, you know, everything is scheduled to the half hour, to the hour, right? And, you know, you got to be on desk, then you got to be here, then you got to be there. And at this time, you have to be doing these tasks and you have this program set up and everything. And then going and then having my manager, I think, on the second day saying, so this job is a blank canvas and it's up to you to paint, to paint it. And I was like, whoa. And I, yeah, that created a lot of anxiety in me. Still does, even just thinking back to it now. And I went, oh my gosh, can I even do this? Like, what? Did they know? I don't know that they should have hired me. I like huge imposter syndrome there. And then, you know, you have like, most people do, you kind of go, okay, well, I've got to start somewhere and I've got to try because I want this job and I want to work here and I want to do a good job. So then you start going and start trying and then you find kind of allies along the way. But yeah, that whole blank canvas thing and then not having every half hour of my day scheduled, like that was a big shocker for me. So
call back to like Josie said about, so my thing was, I'm working in children's, you're doing a lot of programs, you're not even doing programs, you are performing. So this is something that is not, it's not for everyone, but I love kids, I get along great with kids. It was the parents in the room that got me, because I was sitting there and I was like, they're not going to think this is good, this is going to be terrible, they're not laughing at my jokes. And then at some point, I realized, oh, they actually don't care. They care that you're trying hard. They care that you are giving that attention to their child. And by the time I figured that out, I was actually really good at it. So that worked out just fine. The behind the scenes stuff, though, the thing that drove me kind of crazy was trying to get everything done as fast as possible. And now being where I am, I see new people come in and they go, oh, I don't have work to do. I'm done. I'm done all my stuff. And when you're rushing through your stuff, you're probably not doing a great job at it. You're just trying to finish it. You're just trying to get to the next thing. You're trying to show them, look how hard I work. Look what I'm doing. I'm completing this stuff. And you're going to miss things. You're going to skip things. And I think it's good to have, like, every library is different. And you got to feel out your spot. But a lot of libraries are not moving at the pace that, say, I'd find in a sales job or something like that. And that's something that I looked for when I looked for a job. But taking your time, doing things right, not doing things fast, something that just keep repeating in your head as you complete things too fast, and eventually you'll slow down. It's like one of those things that'll eventually work out, so.
So the question was about
what caused you the most anxiety.
Okay.
So you go back to the most anxious time in your career.
Okay, that's what I recollected it being. So for me, when I first started in the library, the thing that caused me the most anxiety, and kind of why I accepted to sit on this panel, is I definitely, like, I didn't work in libraries, and it had its own language. And it seemed like everybody there was super good at libraries. like, it didn't help that, well, I mean, it did help that I worked with excellent people. That didn't help the imposter part of it or the anxiety part of it. So, like, I started with Carlisle Kelly and Holly Arneson, who are just absolute top notch. But EPL has its own language. They've got a bunch of terminology that you can't Google because they made it up. that's going to happen, and it's going to cause anxiety. And I think the words to get super comfortable with when you enter any new career is, I don't know what that is. Yeah. And don't be afraid. I would rather someone say, I don't know what that is, or I'm not sure what you're talking about, than just say, okay, and then do nothing for a day, and then come back and be like, I think I did it. And you're like, why didn't you use the, you know, TPS form? Or, you know, every job kind of has it. Moving from librarianship into IT, that's just a straight double down on that. There's even more things where people are using acronyms. Librarians love acronyms. I think IT loves them even more. And sometimes they don't make any sense. And sometimes they are hyper local. Like, you're like, oh yeah, I'll just Google that. And then it turns out that they've just taken two words and shoved them together, and that's not a thing anywhere else. The anxiety for me is like assuming that everybody else like really has their stuff together, when maybe they've only been there for 6 months longer than you and just happen to have learned the language of the organization.
Can I add something to that? And even if you've been in your job for like 10 years, going to like an Alberta Library conference and standing around some people and you go, oh yeah, I'm way out of my depth. That totally normal, especially when it comes to terminology. So
I just want to add something that someone else said. So Val Foots from the Alberta Legislature Library was originally going to be here, but then she got trapped in a riot or something. Couldn't make it. she sent me an email with some responses here, and this one really kind of stuck out to me, which is that with regards to this question, and she said, it's natural to be worried about fitting in and showing, you know, what you're doing, but it's okay to ask those stupid questions. You can't be expected to know things that people who have been there for 10 years know. Long-term staff sometimes forget something that isn't documented or universally known. Asking is a healthy thing when you start. And it's a great time to ask. Waiting 3 years to ask something because you are too scared to show you don't know something sometimes backfires. People will think, shouldn't you have asked that before? How could you not know that? So in a nutshell, don't pretend and take responsibility for your own continuing development.
Yeah, and I think that's a case where you if someone doesn't ask a question, sometimes you have to go to them and say, why didn't you ask that? And they, I don't know. And that's a good answer. But ask.
Thank you, guys. What do you feel helped? I'm going off script here, actually. What do you feel helped prepare you for your library work at library? So, what did you learn most? What did you learn at library school? What at library school helped prepare you for library work the most?
Oh, do I start again?
Sure.
Oh,
geez. I'll start.
Okay. What prepared me the most? You know, for me, I took a wide variety of classes when I was here at U of A, and I think that really helped me prepare the most. Is just I didn't pigeonhole or pinhole myself into anything. I took a wide variety. I took a couple technology. I took some management classes. I took a children's lit class, a teen lit class. I took an instructional strategies class. I was the only one in that class who didn't want to be an academic instructions librarian. And that was a little tough because I had to kind of stand up for myself for all of the presentations that we had to do and said, I'm not teaching this I'm not picking my topic as I'm going to be working at McEwen or Northwest or whatnot. And that's great that the people in that class wanted to do that. But I said, I'm going to do this because I know that librarians at EPL have to teach courses. I knew that at that time. And I said, if I'm going to do that, or depending on where I go, I'm going to need to have some of those skills. So then I kind of had to fight to say, I'm pretending that I'm teaching an internal EPL, I think like a story time class or something like that. And I had to make a proposal to the professor about it. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent here. Anyway, that was a really good class, but just the variety, because you never know where you're going to be. And I think the thing that I hear the most from people, even I was sitting with the group of LIT staff that we have at Yellowhead and last week, and they were all saying that none of them thought they would end up in the spots that they did when they started. So I think that that's, and I hear that everywhere I go all the time. So I think you can do yourself the best by taking a variety and then realizing that whatever you take, you're going to have to learn more on the job. So be prepared to keep learning. That's really what you need to do, is don't think that, okay, I'm going to finish this 2 years MLIS or in the LIT program, and then that's it. I'm going to know everything I need to know, and I'll get the job, and I'm going to know how to do the job, and that's it. You're going to have a lot more to learn, and it'll be great because your organization will support you in that. So do your best to take, you know, classes that interest you, some that challenge you, and then be prepared to learn more as you go.
Through Graham McEwen, the library tech program, we were offered a 2-week practicum, and I think that was a huge, huge benefit for me. Boots on the ground, getting to do the day-to-day stuff, and I'll echo what Josie said, trying out everything. I had a very specific idea of what I wanted to do, and I found it and got it, and I am like probably the 1% of people who do get that. And I think the way the job situation now is, you should be prepared to find something rather than find that dream job. But I do think if you can volunteer at a library, that always helps. Getting an idea of what it actually is that you're going to be doing rather than what we all believe we want to do or what we think it is really helpful. And it can save you a lot of time in the long run if you can actually see what it's like and realize maybe it's not for you or something like that.
So I'll echo Drew's do a practicum. If you're in your first year and you have an opportunity to do an internship in your second year, I did an internship during my MLIS. It was extremely valuable for lots of learning, but also just the opportunity to work with on the ground professionals on a regular basis and get that off the cuff, like comments, plus there's like lots of networking involved. But the course, I guess, that I took that I didn't expect to ever use that has come up quite handy is cataloging. I did a cataloging class. It was an elective, and a lot of people were like, what are you doing a cataloging class for? You know? And yeah, it was a little tedious, I'm not gonna lie. But it gave me familiarity with MARC records and gave me some familiarity with like the root entity that I end up dealing with pretty regularly. Digital literacy initiatives was my first job, and then I moved into web services, which you wouldn't think has that much to do with cataloging, except it has a lot. I see Dana nodding over there. Has a lot to do with the catalog. So yeah, that's a course that I think a lot of people kind of avoid because they're like, I'm just gonna sing songs to children and it's gonna be amazing. we're not all Drew. Some of us have to work with MARC records. So yeah, that one. But it's, you don't know where you're going to land. So yeah, I also encourage the shotgun approach. I mean, collections development course was good. Of course, this, none of this applies to you because I went to a different school, but I assume they have similar courses here. But yeah, try to, it might be opposite of what you get recommended from however they organize the programs here. But if you can like aim a little bit wider, it goes back to that initial anxiety of like knowing some of the terminology when you hit the ground. You take first year cataloging, you don't know how to catalog. I'm going to tell you that right now. At the end of that course, you're going to talk to somebody in the cataloging department. They're going to be like, oh, honey, you have no idea. But at least you'll know, you know, when they start using the number, the notation system, like you're like, oh yeah, I know what 245 is. Like I have some sense of what these numbers mean in relationship to the words in the MARC record. Even the word MARC record by itself, you'll know what that means.
Just want to poll the room here. Who here knows what a MARC record is? Just out of curiosity.
Interesting. Are we supposed to answer too? Yeah. I should probably put my hand up, right?
Okay, my last question, guys, is when did you feel that you finally belonged at your job, and what was that like We'll start with, you know, we'll start with Jason.
Okay, good, thanks.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I guess I feel like I belong. I've only been in my current role for 8 months. Fortunately, I'm back with EPL. So I was with EPL for about 3 years, and I left to manage actually the St. Albert Public Library, where, contrary to documentation circulated here today, Drew Thomas works. I felt I belonged there. That was a great location. I think that when you start to like work with your, like really get to know your colleagues, I guess, is when you feel like you work there. I'll warn you, when you move into management, there's a bit of a strange shift that happens. You move out of that like camaraderie, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know, yeah, we were all in this together, but now I'm not in it together with you anymore. Like, it's
the two better pieces.
Yeah. So that's an awkward one. So for those of you who are looking for a management track, like, be aware of that subtle shift, you know, people you work with for years. Yeah,
it changes things. For me, it was a year for me. So the public library game can be very cyclical, especially where we are. So, you know, story time session ends, something goes in, we go into Christmas around the world, then we're into this, then we're into that. Whole year to just know what was coming next and to be ready for it almost, rather than like being dragged along with the rest of the staff. I was walking with them, I guess that's a good way to sort of put it. And I think that's a good way to put it though too, is getting to know your coworkers, you know, ask how their weekends were. Like, you know, that's like the littlest thing you can do, and it's the best way to get to know people. And they might even ask how your weekend was. So isn't that nice? but I think like the job itself is one thing, the people you do it with is another thing. And it's something you always have to balance. Because, you know, you never know if you're going to end up in a great job with tough people to work with is the nightmare scenario we're all worried about. But every once in a while, you find a good job, you find good people, and then you just find your spot there. And that's really nice.
All right. I don't know really the answer to this question, to tell you the truth, because I think part of me felt like when I moved organizations from Edmonton Public to Yellowhead, I think part of me felt like, well, I would just automatically belong because we're all library folks, right? You know, we're all kind of in the same boat. So why, you know, why wouldn't I, right? So then maybe going in with that, I just kind of, you know, figured we all had some common ground. I think, and I didn't really have a hard time. Like, Yellowhead has a lot of, you know, has a good organizational culture in that there's been, like within the first couple of weeks I was there, there was like a big staff party, right? So then everybody kind of sits around and has lunch and plays some games and whatnot. And that helps a lot. And, you know, people, because we're so small and we don't do, you know, direct kind of public service face-to-face on a daily basis, except when we go to the libraries and things like that. But we often have breaks together and lunch together and things like that. So it was easier, I think, to, you know, to kind of get to know people in that way. But in terms of the libraries, like, that was the bigger step for me. It was not so much my coworkers in the building, but with our member libraries. And when did I feel like I belonged there? And it was when they started to call me or email me and ask me questions, because then I felt like I had their trust and they knew my name and they knew that I had, you know, value, and they needed, you know, and they felt comfortable with me, right? And that really helped to foster that sense of belonging there. And I totally echo what Jason was saying about there really is a subtle shift when you move into management. And a couple of years ago, I was in sort of this job for a 1 year stint, filling in for a mat leave. And then I moved out of it and back to my librarian position. And now I'm back into management again, but it's a little bit different this time. And that shift back and forth, whoo, that's been an interesting little ride there. But if you're lucky, like Drew said, and get the combination of the great job and the great people, then, you know, everything all just kind of works out in the wash. So, and then it's really positive and it's nice because you're happy to go to work every day. And isn't that what we all really want, right?
I just want to add one more thing. If you are in the public setting, another way you'll know that you've like made it is when the patrons start to remember you. Mm-hmm. Like if you're working certain shifts, people are as predictable as shifts. So you will see the same people on Tuesday nights and you'll see the same people Saturday mornings. Once they get to know you and you're their like their go-to person, that's a nice moment too. So
okay. It's gone a bit long, but I'd like if you know, feel free to leave if you anybody here has to go. But are you guys able to answer a few questions? Mm-hmm. Does anybody here have any questions for our wonderful panelists here?
No questions, just want to.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody. I really appreciate everybody coming down here.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
I'm going to be Brian for the I'm going to randomly select one of you guys, Drew, to pull the, it's very random, to pull from the door prize tin. And someone's going to win a sweet pile of cups.
Claudia, congratulations.
Yay. I totally know. Okay. Well, thank you very much, everybody. And yeah, feel free to email me if you have any questions. I'll probably send out a survey to everybody.
Are you sure the whole stack?
Yeah, the whole stack. Feel free to share it with your friends if you want.
That was great. Thanks.
Nice working with you. Yeah. Our first time to actually work together, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean. You know, a drink would have been nice, you know, rum and coke, water,
especially talking about the anxiety question. I'm like, really, we're all.
I should have given the panelists trigger warnings.
Yeah. No, it was good. Yeah, when you're off the cuff question, I was like, wait, say the question again. I did actually get it.
No, I knew what I was trying to ask.
No one asked. You never asked me first, so I was thankful.
Mine wonders, you know.
No, that was fun.
Yeah, that was really good.
Thanks for thinking of us, Brian.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, sure. See you guys all here next year.
No. You gotta bring new people in. That's how it works. Can't just bring your friends in.
No, I guess. Without my friends, I'd be nothing.
How about this? If you invite me again, I'll withdraw my name in protest. Yeah, that ALC story. That's when you brought that up, Jason. I remember first ALC of like Brian, a bunch of people, they're talking like, I don't belong here. What am I doing here? Are we still recording, by the way?
We are.
Yeah.
Good send off. How's your wife enjoying all these late hours?
She's the reason I'm doing the sense of Brian. Like,